cabeza. Yo, soy una nena, soy una
This is Dr. Ali Evans welcoming you to Light on Health, a show where we shine the light on a full spectrum of topics that affect your health and that of our entire community. My guest today is Blair Cocking, who's an occupational therapist at Columbia Memorial Hospital, and we are going to be talking about hand health. And I'm sure all of you listeners woke up thinking about your hands this morning. So, Blair, it's so nice to have you on.
Ali, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. And tell us just a little snapshot of you and how you ended up as an occupational therapist and how you ended up being interested in hands.
You know, I was smart. I listened to my mom, and my mom said, I think you should become an occupational therapist. Because I think parents, you get this. Parents kind of know, yeah. They know their kids. I remember telling my dad, I think I'll be an accountant. He said, I don't think you've ever been a guy.
So you stuck with bones and not with numbers.
Right. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I got into hands. It's irresistible. You have these interesting people coming in all day long of various occupations and lovely people who talk about their lives and ask you about your life and help them resolve their problems. And it's you can't beat it. I might help... Well, close to home, I might help a dentist who's having forearm pain help resolve that forearm shoulder pain so that they can return to their work without interruption.
Right. And is that the goal, basically, for those people and those listeners who don't really know what occupational therapy is the goal to have someone be able to go back to whatever activities they need to do, whether it's work, whether it's home life.
Right. Yeah. Occupational therapy. I just learned this. I'm happy to say this. It's 100 years old this year. I started after World War I, and occupational therapy is involved in occupations of whatever. For children, it's play. Play is their work to help children get back to being able to play without difficulty, without being worried about being bumped by another child or... working with, as we say, in an outpatient setting, working with people who have had hand injuries. In an inpatient setting, it would be working with people who've had a stroke and making sure that they can do whatever they have to do to get up and go that day, like get dressed and get onto the toilet. So occupations that of the day, whatever that might be.
And it's more than just the physical body. It's also cognitive and behavioral stuff that will help people go back to activities of daily
right.
living. Yeah.
I've never done this work, but you can also work in a psych setting,
mm-hmm.
working on values and goals and self-esteem.
Yeah. And so for people who are... See, are people who are unsure about, I have patients ask me a lot about, should I see a physical therapist or an occupational therapist? What's your kind of guideline with that?
It's such a mug. It's mud.
Yes, right.
I don't know anything about necks, backs, legs, feet.
Right.
I'm what's called, just to make things more muddy, I'm called a certified hand therapist, and I work only on hands, elbows, forearms.
Yes.
So if you have those problems, I'm the one to come see.
Yes.
There's only 5,000 of us in the whole U.S. To be a certified hand therapist or CHT, you have to pass a difficulty exam. My husband was very happy when I passed.
Well, I remember in medical school having in gross anatomy, doing all the bones of the hands. And it was like, if you could get through the hands and the feet with all the little bones and tendons and muscles, you were like, okay, I got the rest of the body.
Complexity.
And so day to day, what kinds of things are you seeing and working with?
Of course, the prompt that brings all people to therapy is pain.
Yeah.
I think that for us, We deal with acute pain pretty well. We got that.
Mm-hmm.
Ice is nice for
right.
pain.
And people kind of figure out a regimen of ibuprofen, of ice, of whatever they need to, of resting it. They know what to do in the immediate.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
Unfortunately, most pain is not acute. Most pain becomes chronic really quickly.
I define chronic pain as pain lasting greater than 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
In the clinic, we'll see chronic pain diagnoses like, well, tendonitis can be chronic, very much so. Phantom limb. Sometimes we'll see people that have had a finger that's been amputated, and the stump will be highly painful.
Mm-hmm.
Another type of chronic pain that we see almost weekly has this odd name. It's called complex regional pain syndrome. Complex regional pain syndrome, of course, you want to abbreviate that CRPS. And that's defined as, and the International Association of the Study of Pain defines CRPS as something that comes after a noxious event. It involves, as the primary feature, pain, high pain. And thirdly, it usually involves some sort of blood flow problem, something like edema, or my hand feels very cold, or my hand feels very, very hot. This, by definition, is CRPS. And we see this weekly.
And you have both a neurological kind of pain going on, but you also have the circulation issue, whether it's too little or too much blood flow to the area.
Exactly. Usually it's too little blood flow.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. Sometimes it's too much.
Right.
And you know that there's a neuro component because they always talk about burning pain.
Hmm.
An example that comes to mind is just one. I had a librarian come, lovely woman, pulling books all day long.
That's right,
action,
the repetitive motion.
Motion. She went to the physician, and the physician rightly prescribed ibuprofen, but it wasn't turning round. So she came to me, I'm happy to say, and we started just working on decreasing swelling, and as we say, staying under the radar. Mm-hmm. Don't hurt. That's the classic. Mm-hmm. Don't hurt.
Right.
On chronic pain as well as acute pain, we call our mainstay is to just move. Mm-hmm. They call it graded exposure.
Mm-hmm.
But the essence of this is move.
Hmm.
Move without hurting. You might move a little bit this week. Next week, you're going to move a bit more.
And this is something, you know, we're talking about the hands. I see this with all parts of the body. People often don't know whether it's better to move or whether it's better to just rest and not move whatever body part is hurting. And I think I'm curious what your input is. But, you know, lots of times people will have either it's arthritic pain or they'll have a sprain or they'll have some sort of inflammation going on and they just take to the bed. They just rest and I'm not going to move.
For arthritic pain, that pain is an alerting response. And for that, we always try and prevent what we call joint destruction. Don't leverage those joints. Use bigger body parts to open doors, hold purses, close drawers.
So to actually give those a rest.
Rest, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sprains, repetitive strain injury, try and get that swelling down and move. But move as best you can, staying under the radar.
Right. So the object is not to do it with – the object is not to push through pain. The object is to do it just until that kind of threshold of pain. Uh-huh.
Curiously enough, perfectionistic people have such trouble with this. They can't do it.
Right, right.
I think because they just have to achieve.
That's right.
A barrier to achieving.
Well, and I think, you know, I've thought a lot about chronic pain because it's so pervasive in our society. And now that we have, you know, all the opioids being overused and the opioid initiative where we're trying to decrease how much is prescribed, I think about this all the time. Pain in and of itself, there's a positive intention to it, right? It is our body saying you need to stop what you're doing. It's the body holding up a flag to get us to pay attention. It's what happens in that, which is, like you said, is really easy when it's acute, like you sprain your ankle or you break your hand. That's pretty easy to stop what you're doing and tend to that body part. But when it becomes chronic, I think it's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
Yeah.
We're learning from the Australians. The Australians are really taking the lead on chronic pain, they are doing what's called treating it from the top down, because we know in phantom limb and in CRPS with functional MRIs, I'm not sure what that is, but I know that you see it in print all the time,
yeah.
Functional MRIs, the cortex, the brain that's in charge of that hand, it's dormant. It's not as active.
Hmm.
So for the Australians, they're saying...
Meaning that the brain has kind of stopped perceiving that body part.
Because it's not being moved much.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like you use it, or you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing.
Right, yeah. Hmm. So the Australians are going from the top down. They're saying, engage the brain on this problem. They are doing things like tricking the brain. If the brain isn't registering, the right hand, they'll have the left hand. This is complex. I'll do my best. They'll trick the brain. They'll put a left pain-free hand in front of a mirror with the right hand behind a person's back. And they'll move the left hand in the mirror. Looking in the mirror, you'll see two hands that are lovely. They're moving. They don't hurt. It's good.
And it looks like a right hand in the mirror.
And it looks like a right hand. So engaging that brain to say, hey, I don't hurt. It's okay. Movement's okay.
Isn't that? And when we look at pain, there's so many, we're looking at the cerebrum, the actual brain cortex, and we're looking at brain stem, and we're looking at all the nerves that innervate all of those organs. There's so many levels, like you said, and the thalamus and all these parts of the brain that makes so much sense to approach it top down.
Top down, plus the bottom too. But
right, you have to look at the actual, you have to actually look at the organ as well.
And this is uncontested. This is simple. You know, you go to work, you kind of soldier yourself to work, even though you have this horrible headache or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you notice that your boss is surveilling what you're doing, and suddenly your headache is like, my head hurts so bad
right now.
There's that brain and that body working together with pain.
Right.
Right.
Do you see when you're working with chronic pain, do you see the link between kind of the mental, emotional sphere and the physical pain sphere? Do you kind of see that, you know, that correlation?
Right, right. And we're just trying to calm things down. Get them under the radar. Get them moving a little bit. Here's a really huge one. Get them sleeping.
Oh, right.
People who are in chronic pain don't sleep.
That's right.
A lot of us don't sleep.
That's right.
I'm very happy to see you sleep. I was walking the dogs last night, 8:30 at your house.
That's right.
All lights were out.
Yes.
You sleep.
Yes, we might be sleep divas at our house.
That's lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I always tell patients it's your... You know, when you are able to go into sleep, your growth hormone, which is your restorative, repair, regenerative hormone, goes up. And your cortisol, which is your destructive hormone, goes down. And without being able to sleep, you don't get that surge in growth hormone. So you really don't get the hormonal effects of the body repairing itself. So, yeah, that makes – and it's like what comes first, the chicken or the egg, if you're in so much pain trying to fall asleep.
Difficult,
right?
Right.
And
have you seen that on Netflix? They have some sort of program for putting on boring movies so that allows you to sleep.
I love it. Right.
There's some sort of computer program or that is titled "Come Sleep with Me," and they read War and Peace, and you put your headphones
and
go to sleep, and you wake up. Oh yeah, it's really boring. Let me go back to sleep.
That's right.
These are just aids for us.
That's right. Yeah, no, sleeping is, you know, I think whenever we're looking at chronic pain, it's, you know, we're talking about the hands. When we talk about any part of the body, it's inflammation that's happening. And inflammation is universal. You kind of treat it with the same principles, you know. And that's maybe more of the Australian approach. Like, we're looking at what happens when anything goes into inflammation. And then you go with the narrower lens and go to the actual organ or appendage or limb that's hurting.
Right.
Yeah.
And try to calm it down.
That's right.
And we don't have to see the full-blown sequence of symptoms for CRPS. If they're coming in with burning pain, I'll start right on that tack and try and get it calmed down. Sure.
And so with that, with complex regional pain syndrome, CRP. Syndrome means a couple symptoms kind of
right.
all together.
Right.
So you're saying it's the nerve involvement and usually a lack of blood flow to
right.
the area.
Right.
Are there other things you're seeing with that?
Nerve, blood flow, just hurts to move, burning pain.
Is there a particular body part that usually presents, or it can be anywhere in the body?
Anywhere in the body.
Uh-huh.
I just see hands. So
yes, so you see a lot of hands with it.
Yeah. There's a few resources I'd really like for your listeners to know about.
Yeah.
In Portland, OHSU, this doctor comes highly recommended by a very seasoned patient, knowledgeable patient, Andre Sedrula. Lovely man.
Uh-huh.
His phone number?
Yeah.
503-494-4567. And he works with a physical therapist in this situation,
yeah.
Bill Rubin. And those two work together just at tracking, desensitizing horrible pain syndromes.
Would you recommend someone first see an OT and then go to him? Or when would someone make that differentiation?
For folks living here, I'm the easier access.
Yeah, that's right. And why not see where you get there?
Right? Yeah. And then go forward with this is a lovely resource that's fairly local. The other idea I want people to know about is this book. It's called Explain Pain. So that's Explain Pain. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's
Mm-mm.
by David Butler. This is the Australian group. That Australian group is known as NOI, Neuropathic Orthopedic Institute. They produced this book. Here's the bad part. 2 years ago, this book was $60. I just looked at Amazon in preparation for this program. It's now $90.
Wow.
So everyone that's in chronic pain, that's a lot of us.
Well, they should buy it now or it's going to be $120 in a couple of months.
Folks across the river, if you have... You have that Timberline Regional mm-hmm. Library.
Right.
You can get this book
oh.
through the library.
Yeah, that's yeah. great.
If you live on this side of the river, you have friends on
the other side of the river. That's
you
right.
got it.
We have a bridge there for a reason,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. But, and I don't know if perhaps the Seaside Library, I just don't know, Interlibrary Loan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the college library could get it.
Right.
Get that book. It's really good.
Is it written in lay language? Can most
lay
people
language. You bet.
Understand it if they read
you
it?
Bet.
Yeah, that's great.
Lovely illustrations.
Yeah.
It's not a snooze. It's good.
Yeah, it's not one of those War and Peace.
Oh,
you're going to have your patients go to sleep.
This is an easy go.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Light on Health on Coast Community Radio. היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול, כמו שלשום וזה אותו כחול גדול, אותו עוף בשמיים אותו עלה של זית אל מחר נוטה ליפול אז בוא נתפור את הקרע, האשליה שבגבולות שמפרידה עיניים, לא לדעת, לא לראות שבסך הכל הדרך אל אותו הים זורמת ומה שפה We are back. We're Light on Health talking with Blair Cocking, an occupational therapist, about hand health. Blair, I'm totally curious. I keep forgetting to ask you. Since you started practicing and working in hand health, what has changed? Like, what have you noticed more of and less of, and what's changed for you?
Big changes are that CRPS is more common and that we're getting more fluent about treating it. A total different sea change on that.
Right. Are you seeing lots of effects of technology use, cell phones and computers, keyboards and stuff?
I keep on thinking, why aren't we getting a lot of that cubital tunnel, you know, the
yeah.
tendonitis at the elbow with the phone at the ear or
That's
the
right.
phone or the elbow bent? We just don't see much of that.
What about the the tendonitis of the thumb, like De Quervain's from the texting thumb? Not so much.
Not much.
Well, that's good to know. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah.
I think people are getting the neck problems from leaning down and
right.
texting.
Like this 8-pound
right.
brain or head
That's right.
down.
Yeah, that's right.
That would do it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
I see maybe because I'm an aging boomer, for women, I see quite a bit more of arthritis at the base of the thumb.
Hmm.
That can be treatable. That pain is also an alerting pain that you want to get some action going on that. They say, this is interesting, I used to follow a hand surgeon. He'd let me follow him and his patients during the day.
Yeah.
And he would go to those very expensive American Society of Hand Surgery
conferences. Yeah.
And they had Richard Leakey at one of those seminars, the great anthropologist. Mm-hmm. And he said, not that it changes anything, but he said, well, women get this, and it's true. Women usually get this arthritis at the base of the thumb. Women get that. Men seldom get that unless they whack themselves with a hammer.
Hmm.
But women, left hand, perimenopausal, menopausal, they'll get this.
So it's a more hormonal effect?
They just don't quite get that, mm-hmm. but there's a contribution about mm-hmm. that. Leakey said that women's thumbs are evolving faster than men's. So therefore, they have this problem. But we can treat that with some splinting, gardening a little differently. Anytime you keep what they call a pistol handle, where the wrist is neutral, it's not mm-hmm. tipping down, it's not tipping up, it's just straight.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, holding tools like that.
Huh.
Less stress.
Uh-huh. Anytime you're kind of torquing the wrist down or up, it's putting stress on the tendons.
Right, and then mm-hmm. at risk for a tendonitis and at risk for developing furthermore pain at the base of the thumb.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So circling back a little bit to chronic pain, because I think that's what most people are really, you know, the people that are really trying to get pain underway, it's a more chronic picture. What are you seeing? So we talked a little bit about the convincing the brain that organ is healthy and has the full range of motion. What other modalities are you seeing work, and what other kind of ways of approaching pain?
We spend some time with massage, warming the tissue so that you have more pain-free mobility. We spend time really educating people to, this is a hard one, give thought to going to the pool. The water is an excellent medium for exercising.
Because it takes the gravity off?
Right, that, and that buoyancy of the water. It's so much easier to move. And I'm happy to see that I've seen you at the pool.
Yes, yes.
With your kidlets.
I have a swimmer child, so yes.
Yeah.
I will tell you, last night I said, okay, I'm going to swim laps. And I, after about 10 laps, I was like, this is kind of boring. I don't have a friend to talk to, and I can't talk underwater. I think I might be an extrovert.
Extrovert, introvert. Yeah, they do pick different types
of
exercise. For me, it's fabulous. Nobody can yell and say, where are my socks?
That's right.
I am under the water.
Right.
And I'm out of bounds.
That's right.
But people have trouble about the pool. No, I don't want to go to the pool.
Right.
I haven't exercised in 10 weeks and I feel fat.
Right.
And I'm not going to put a suit
on. That's right.
Here's the thing to think about. Those folks at that pool, your hat really goes off to these folks. They are like 400 pounds and they're swimming laps and they're
absolutely.
Fighting for their life.
That's right.
And you say, bravo.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that's come out since they've mapped the human genome, one of the things that's come out is this idea that we have these genes that can have just a little bit of variation to them. And some of these little bits of variation, they're not going to make or break an organism. They just affect how well, you know, we make neurotransmitters, how well we make active cofactors in enzymes we need. And one of the things they've found is this link between people with a high pain threshold and people with a low pain threshold. So I think we're starting to see, I know one of the most frustrating things for patients is when they're in so much pain and people don't understand. You know, they put themselves and their own pain threshold as the barometer and they think, there's no way that you hurt that much. But I think these people, and then people feel so misunderstood.
Oh, yeah.
And they're really suffering.
And frustrated.
And really frustrated, yeah.
And you're bringing up an excellent point. This is really new stuff. They're thinking of things like fibromyalgia, things where people are in their 20s, 30s, 40s that have multiple site pain areas, unpredictable pain, burning pain.
Right.
Lack of sleep. and sensitive. These folks are sensitive to light, moody at
times. That's right.
Because pain is such a dominating factor. They're thinking that there's some sort of moderator in them that doesn't moderate pain like it would be for you.
Right.
And in fact, it amplifies the pain. For these folks, they're getting it. These teaching hospitals, they're getting this, that opiates and surgical interventions, that is not the ticket with
guys. That's right. Well, because it'll show up somewhere else. I mean, the body is amazing at... I mean, look at the spleen. You can remove a spleen in someone and it'll grow. You'll grow a bunch of mini spleens in the body. There's this phenomenon called splenosis where, like, you can actually remove a spleen and it'll grow back. I mean, our body is amazing at adapting.
Yes.
It's incredible.
So for these folks, the go-to with these folks, these fibromyalgia people, these people with this moderator that's just not it's amplifying the pain. They say, again, you don't want to use exercise with these folks because they're gonna fire you. They're going to say, no way am I exercising. But you present it more like activity. Do some activity. Stay under the radar.
Right.
But do some sort
of activity. Move your body, basically.
Right. And start working on sleep.
Right. Right. And maybe starting with that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm curious, in folk medicine and historically, the use of hot and cold has always been used together and sort of alternating. So like a really old constitutional hydrotherapy treatment would be 3 minutes hot, 30 seconds cold, three times in a row on an organ. And the idea is kind of shunting blood to and from, you know, you're kind of closing and opening.
Right.
What's your thought? I mean, there's heat, there's ice, and I think people never know, you know, ice for swelling. But if you give heat, is it going to make it more swollen?
I swear by acute pain, you put ice on it, you're in business. It's good.
Yep.
And I get that firsthand.
Yes.
But we do use that cool and warm bath. That's passed down through the ages.
Yeah.
And that's a go-to for me for like a chronic pain.
Yes.
Or tendonitis. Again, you've got the buoyancy of the water.
Mm-hmm.
You've got cool for calming, constricting, warm for opening.
Right.
The bugger with that is that, I got to stand in front of the sink for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and I got to clean the sink out. And
that's right.
Trouble.
I know.
So we've been using rice. Get a bowl of rice, put it in the refrigerator. Get a bowl of rice, put it in the microwave.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And then exercise that way.
That's a great idea.
You
don't have to deal with the water.
That's a great idea.
Is there anything else you want to leave folks with? Any other ideas? If they wanted to contact you, they can do it through CMH?
Right.
Okay.
I'd like to get that out. I've been happy to be at CMH, Columbia Memorial Hospital, and you can find me at the rehab center there.
Great.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that in.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. And it's amazing how we use our hands just thinking about it. That's an organ we really can't do without.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Light on Health on Coast Community Radio. Join me for my next show on February 28th with Dr. Jennifer Lysette. We'll be talking about updates in cancer care. Thank you to my guest, Blair.
Thanks.
Yes. And to our very generous engineer, Kate Brister. It's my hope that we've enlightened and empowered you all to take one tiny step forward towards your own radiant health. Have a great week. היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול, כמו שלשום וזה אותו כחול גדול, אותו עוף בשמיים אותו עלה של זית אל מחר נוטה ליבו